Welcome back to the Junior NBA Coaches Corner podcast. Today we are coming to you live from New York City, chatting about the 2022 NBA Draft. Two very special guests, future first-round picks, Shaedon Sharpe and Ty Washington, both out of Kentucky.
Welcome to the Junior NBA Coaches Corner with your host, Dallin Cuff.
What's up, folks? Welcome to another edition of the Junior NBA Coaches Corner podcast. And yes, we are live on location here. We had the Junior NBA Skills Challenge, National Challenge earlier today. Congratulations to those winners, young 13 and under and 11 under group. Obviously, we're in New York City here, and that is for the NBA Draft Thursday night. Can't wait to get that going. We have two special guests to join the pod here today. Shaedon Sharpe, who's maybe the most intriguing guy in this draft. He reclassified as one of the top prospects in the class of 2021, enrolled at Kentucky midseason, redshirted, did not play, practiced, so we've not seen him. And as he will talk about more in the pod, he's not played 5-on-5 in over a year. And so we've not seen him play, but he is a young man that's projected in the top 10. Really interesting to talk to him. And one of his teammates at Kentucky, Ty Washington. Ty was a ballyhooed recruit, had a very good year, all SEC level season at Kentucky as well, but obviously, as he mentions a little bit, didn't end the way they wanted to with losing to St. Peter's, but moving forward, what he learned from Coach Cal and having the opportunity here to hear their name called and really their most special moment of their lives, biggest day of their life. All right, now joined by Ty, and we're going to call you the international young man of mystery. We ain't seen you play in a minute. tell us what his game is like. We haven't seen you, Shaedon, play since 2021. He's going to be a lottery pick. What is it like?
Three-level score, really athletic. You know, you can play on both sides of the ball. He got some stuff you just can't teach, so, yeah.
How excited are you to show everybody what he's talking about?
I don't know. I'm excited. I mean, you guys haven't seen me play for over a year now, so, I mean, I'm just excited to get back to competing and just really having fun, so.
What was practice like in the UK in the second half of the year? Because I remember when guys were redshirting or guys were on the scout team, there were, like, no rules. Like, you can shoot it whenever you want. You can do whatever you want. What was it like guarding a dude that might have zero leash every time he's got the ball?
So pretty much in practice, like you said, the other team just pretty much go out there and play. So it would have been some days where, like, second team whooped us pretty bad, but then some days where we did the same to them. But we know going into practice, second team, we knew selective individuals was going to get them up, and we knew Shaedon was going to be one of them. So it was like, it was going to be either me or Kellen guarding him. And it was like, the days I knew he was going to get him up the most, I'm like, yo, Kellen, you got to guard him.
Go ahead,
bro. Yeah. So, like, you know, just like you said, him being able to still compete with us in practices and stuff like that, still being around the game, still at least, you know, going up and down the court in practice definitely helps for sure.
What was it like having that, playing in that role?
Being in practice, it was intense. I was on second team, scout team, so, you know, you just want to, kind of give a real, you know, example of how it's going to be in the game. So, you know, just trying to put up as much shots as I can. Really just score and defend. So.
Put up as much shots as I can. That's a dream right there. That's some good stuff right there.
Yeah.
What do you think your game developed over that course of time you were there?
When?
How do you think your game developed when you were there?
Really me just being in practice, even off the court, just that one-on-one practice with my coach and everything. So I feel like that's when I most developed as a player and as an individual. So.
Ty, you came in. You guys have been followed for years, and people knew your career, knew you had high expectations on you. What was it like coming to Kentucky, and what do you think you took away from that year with the Cats?
Going to Kentucky, I mean, I was going to go somewhere else before Kentucky, and then Coach Cal came in, and he pretty much told me, like, this is a place where, you know, everybody going to give you your best shot every single night just because, you know, you go to Kentucky, so everybody dreams about beating those schools. So, you know, just going, you know, every night, just got to go in there and prove yourself to your opponent that your opponent's not better than you and stuff like that. So that's what I really took away from it, just learning how to fight and, you know, handle things, handle adversity. And, you know, Coach Cal pushed us all, and I felt like the season and everything turned out good. It's just not the way we wanted to end, but, I mean, other than that, season was real good.
Yeah. Obviously, Xavier Wheeler transferred in from Georgia. He had the ball in his hands a lot, but whenever he was hurt, you had 17 assists in that one game, set a school record. Like, you were able to show some things at different times. Guys before Kentucky, Emmanuel Quickley, Tyrese Maxey, had good years, but then went to league and have a bigger impact there. Do you think that's something you'll have the same effect?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like you just said, the word effect. I feel like all guys that Cal coaches, you know, at Kentucky, all do good there, and then when they get to the NBA, they kind of, you know, just blossom, explode. Just like you said, I feel like that's the Cal effect, really. You know, Cal knows what it looks like to be at the next level and what it's like to last at the next level. So while we at Kentucky, you know, he did a really good job of just preparing us and just telling us, like, you know, you get through here, the next level, you can get through there as well. So just pretty much pushing us, being hard on us every day, stuff like that definitely helps. And as you see, like, all the guys he had that went to Kentucky is all in the next level. They're all, you know, showing out really well-known and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So I definitely feel like I could go in there and sometime down the line do the same thing as well.
Yeah, last, like, 25 years, I think there's been, like, 14 guards out of Kentucky. The next closest school is, like, Duke with, like, five. I mean, it's right. just first-round picks, so yeah. it's a little different animal. How did Coach Cal help you you weren't able to play when the lights are brightest, the pressure's on, so it's a little bit different. How's Coach Cal helped you through that process?
He really just told me how it really is just playing college ball. I mean, he really helped me during practice, you know, figure out the pace and everything, because it's different than high school. Mm-hmm. So he really just told me and helped me figure out the pace of the game and the physicality. So he really helped me with that.
What'd you take away from a mental standpoint, being able to, having to watch stuff and watch the film but not see yourself all the time out there? What did you take away from mentally?
I mean, studying the game. I mean, when you play basketball, I feel like you should study the game. So just watching other players and how they play really helped me.
Who do you study in the NBA, Ty? Who do you look at and say, I need to take that from their game or this from this game?
I watch a lot of Darius Garland, CJ McCollum, James Harden. You know, those guys are not the fastest or the most athletic, but, you know, they definitely play at their own pace. They never sped up. They know how to use their different gears. You know, they play with the ball in their hand. Without the ball, they can shoot it, pass it, kind of, you know, do everything that, you know, a leader of the team needs to do. So I definitely watch those three a lot.
Cool. Shaden, same thing for you. Who are the guys you're focused on?
Just a lot of Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, even Zach LaVine, just because they're, I mean, bigger guys that can come off screens, pin downs, make the right read, and just create their own shot.
You guys, this is technically the last day you're not NBA players anymore. Yeah. That's kind of a weird thing. We're at the Junior NBA Skills Challenge we had earlier. You guys were out there blocking. I saw you blocking some shots of 10-year-olds. Let them feel you a little bit.
Yeah.
And playing with some kids. Let's talk about your youth experience. Both of you guys played at incredibly high levels in terms of AAU programs and whatnot. Shaden, I'll start with you. Like, when you look back at your youth development, at what point did you know, like, I could be really good at this? Like, I could be a pro.
I wouldn't really say my youth, but when I really noticed I could do something with basketball and really play at the highest level, it was probably like two years ago. But I mean, being a youth, growing up, watching basketball, playing basketball, it's always fun. I mean, I played two sports, football and basketball, so as you can see, basketball took over. So I mean, just playing those two sports really helped me to become the player I am today.
There's a couple things there. What you said 2 years ago. What was it? A certain event? Was it a certain game? What happened 2 years ago that made it seem like, hey, this could be different?
It was really me just being in the gym, just really working on my craft and my toolbox. Mm-hmm. So
you both smile about toolbox. was there a certain term here we're talking about?
I mean, everyone uses bag. Oh, yeah. But I mean, me and my crew came up with, like, the toolbox. Yeah. So, yeah.
All right, stealing stuff from baseball, five-tool player.
Yeah.
And Ty, same question to you. When do you kind of realize, like, this could be my life?
Yeah, I probably would say about 2 years ago when COVID actually first came around, March of 2020. Mm-hmm. I definitely say that's when I knew, like, I had a chance to be real special. Like, prior to that, you know, in youth and then just early, like, high school, like, I was always good, talented, and stuff like that. But I just wanted to, like, you know, what can I do to separate myself to help me get to the next level? So when COVID pretty much came out, me and my high school coaches, we pretty much just put a plan in place, and I followed that plan. I started, you know, changing my body, stuff like that. I was in the gym every day, twice a day, so it was just really working on my craft and stuff like that. And my senior year just kind of showed, and mm-hmm. at the end of my senior year, that's when Coach Cal came around and just, you know, right there, I just feel like March of 2020 or March of 2021 was just, you know, the best year of my life where I could say, that's where I, like, you know, knew I could be something special and be able to be in the position I am now.
You might be like one of like eight people that period of time was the best year of your life. Like that, yeah. that's you took a great crazy. Made a great positive out of a crazy situation. Right. Shaden, how hard was the pandemic? Because when you can't, like, were you able to play 5-on-5? Were you able to hoop at all? Like, what was going on?
I was just at the crib. I mean, Canada. I mean, I feel like I can't really say that what I wanted to say, but Canada's kind of. Different.
You can say what you want to say. Go ahead.
I was gonna say Canada's kind of soft when it comes to like pandemics and like sickness and everything. So they just really locked the city down.
Yeah.
And everyone was just at the crib. But I mean, I'm a homebody, like to chill, watch Netflix, video games. So it didn't really have no impact on me.
Okay. A lot of video games played at the Kentucky locker room?
Yeah.
What's the game of choice?
A lot of people play Warzone, like him.
What is Warzone?
It's a Call of Duty game. And
Call of Duty. I'm back to like Black Ops, guys. Mm-hmm. I'm old.
They got Call of Duty Warzone, Fortnite, Madden, stuff like that. Like, him and a few other guys played Call of Duty Warzone. Me and Shade and Vroom were actually next door to each other, so that's when I got to like figure out, like, when he first got to school, he never talked or anything like that. And then one night I hear him, you know, banging on the desk, screaming and stuff. So I'll go in there, I see he's playing the game. So I'm like, oh, this kid actually does talk. From that day on, you know, you expect Shaden to be yelling at 11:30 p.m. at his TV.
Were you yelling Nuketown? Is Nuketown still a level?
Nah, so it's like Rebirth. I mean, Nuketown is there, but it's like
Nuketown. Some stuff goes down in Nuketown. That's chaos.
That's tough.
All right, who's the best player? Who's the best player in the team?
In terms of like video games?
Call of Duty. Who's the best Call of Duty?
I'm taking myself.
Okay, well, there you go. All right.
I don't play Call of Duty, but I'm putting my money on Lance. I don't think it's him.
Lance playing on the computer, so I mean, he got the advantage.
Why is it an advantage playing on the computer?
I mean, I think it's like the frame time. It's faster.
More quicker?
Yeah, and the field view is more wider, so you can see better. So.
That's ridiculous. It's
the little things that you got to consider. All right. So.
Nuketown. Me back to my younger days. Yeah. All right, let's talk about the draft here. Like, this is going to be, obviously, going into it, let's start here. What has been the best part of the process, and what's been the worst part of the process? The process you like the least?
I'd say the best part is just being able to go through this process, I would say, you know, for me personally, you know, like, not everybody in the world can say they're going through the pre-draft process. So, I mean, for me personally, I say just being here in the moment is the best part, just living it day by day, soaking it all up. But, you know, the bad thing about it is just all the traveling, traveling, staying busy. Like, there's no more, like, just sleeping in and stuff like that. Like, every day you got a schedule to do something. And it's just, like, for all these workouts and stuff, like, you travel to the city, you get there, wake up early morning, work out, go back to the airport, travel to your other city. So it's just, I say that the traveling was kind of hard, but, I mean, I know at the end it's going to be all worth it.
Mm-hmm. Shane?
I'd probably say best thing for, it's just, you know, going to different teams, different cities, working out for them, just competing. I had a lot of fun doing that. But like as I said, just the traveling, going from, you know, city to city is kind of overwhelming.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the NBA, 82 games in the season. So.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, when you talk to other pros or think about being in the league,
yeah.
Your game is one thing. But, like, the lifestyle, and you're a professional, like, how do you feel you're going to make that adjustment, that transition to that lifestyle?
I mean, I'm going to have to make it quick. If I want to be in the NBA for a long time. But I don't think it's going to be too hard just because, I mean, I was at Kentucky for 4 months and I already got used to it by the second month. So, yeah.
Okay. How about you, Tata?
Yeah, like you said, you got to adjust to it quick, stay on your toes, really, and just ask questions. I feel like, you know, if you don't know something, just ask. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like the people, you know, that help me get to this point, they're still going to be with me at the next level. So I know if I don't know something, I can just ask them. And, you know, like, some of the NBA guys just told me, stick to it, you know, the basics. Get wiser and just keep on pushing.
You want to explain?
Just tell me to, like, stay focused, you know, stay in the gym. They just pretty much just say to stay consistent with the schedule.
Okay. In terms of the actual day, like, how are you feeling right now? We're about, you know, 36 hours away. We're taping less than 36 hours, about 28 hours away here. What are your emotions right now? Take us in your head.
Me, I feel good. You know, I'm not really too much thinking about it, but I mean, it's kind of hard not to because, like, you're in the position to.
And you got guys like me asking questions about
It's like, I mean, I'm really excited, a little nervous because, like, you can't control what team is going to pick you and stuff like that. So none of us know where any of us are going. So it's just going to be, like, real excited. I'm going to be anxious to see where I'm going. And, yeah, tonight just have fun with my friends and stuff like that. So it's going to be real fun to see what happens tomorrow night.
Yeah, enjoy New York for sure about that. Yes, sir. How are you feeling?
I mean, I'm excited, a little nervous. I mean, like Tata said, you don't know where you're going to go. But I say I'm just excited because just me being dreaming about this your whole life as you're a little kid. But I'm really just trying to, you know, soak it all in.
How much, if at all, do you pay attention to the mock drafts or the talk about this or where you're going to go? Do you pay attention to that? Do you try to block it out? How do you approach it?
No, I don't even look at that. I mean, I might see one, two things about it, but I don't really look at that.
Do you get into it with your agent, or you just like, well, we'll see how it goes down? Like, how do you kind of approach that thought?
Just, we'll see how it goes down for real.
Tata?
Yeah, I mean, I don't, like, you know, search it up or anything like that, but it's kind of hard not to see it when you got, like, you know, your friends and stuff all posting and tagging you in it. So, like, whenever I do come across it, I mean, I take a quick glance at it. But as far as I know, I just talk to my agent about it. He just tells me what teams are saying as far as feedback. And really just, you know, that's all you can really do. Because at the end of the day, you know, mock draft is just nothing but a number next to your name. It's not the official thing. So anything can really happen.
Do you sit there, do you think about when your agent says, hey, you could go to X, Y, and Z teams? Do you think about, all right, I really want to go to this team versus that team? Or do you?
There's been some, but, like, not really. I just... more is like not the team, I just think of like the cities and stuff like around it, like
you said, life.
Yeah, what's the life gonna be like in the city and all that stuff. So that's what I when he's telling me stuff like that, I just can like I just try to picture myself like, is this a good fit for me? Like, will I be able to stay here? Would I be able to play here and stuff like that?
I mean, not really. For me it's all about hooping. I mean, I've been playing 5-on-5 for like a year now, so for me it's really just hooping, just getting after it, just competing.
All right, let's get to the important stuff. Your attire for tomorrow night. You said your sister helped you out. What are we like? How much time and effort goes into what you look like on probably the biggest? Is this the biggest day of your life, you think?
Yeah.
So how much time goes into like what you're gonna wear?
How much time? For me, I'm simple. I'm easy. It didn't really take too long. I mean, my sister really did help a lot, and I told her like what I want, kinda. But I mean, big shout out to her. She really did her thing. So.
Okay, big sis holding you down?
Yeah.
Ty, what you got?
Yeah, so me pretty much, this girl named Ashley and Allison, they both helped me from my agency. They helped me with my suit. My stuff's pretty basic as well. I mean, you know, I'm a basic type of guy. Keep it short and simple. So, I mean, it's going to look cool, though. I'm going to be dripped out. But it's just like he said, I really didn't have too much. I had, like, you know, some thought into it, but... they made all the magic work, so shout out to them too.
Yeah, basic doesn't mean it's got to be basic.
Yeah, that's just keep it short and simple, not too much.
Okay. Yeah. Trey Murphy was here earlier. He was 17th overall pick last year's draft at UVA, and he said, you know, I thought I was going to be fine. When you hear the name, you get emotional. Have you thought about what that's going to be like when you hear that name called?
Yeah, I know my mom and my brother are going to cry for sure.
Brother, older or younger?
Younger. They're both gonna cry for sure.
Let me tell you, you're gonna cry then too. Like there's
I know, like
you know?
Yeah, like
you wanna put some shekels on?
Like I say like 95% no, I'm not gonna cry. I don't know, it is like you said, I'm saying that now, but when I get there I'm pretty sure it might be different, but you know, I'm a soldier, man. I'm gonna try my hardest to hold it in, but I mean if it comes out, it comes out.
Flow,
yeah,
man.
If the emotions come out, they come out.
How about you, Shaden? Have you thought about what that would be like?
I think my mom is going to cry, my sister maybe, maybe even my dad. But me, I don't think I'm going to cry. I can't remember the last time I cried, honestly. So, yeah.
Well, I'll be watching intently tomorrow night to see what goes on when these names are called.
For sure.
In terms of playing in the league, are there certain guys, Shaden, you start, like, guys you're excited to play against? Like, is there, like, when you think about being playing in the league, are there certain guys, like, you're looking forward to having the chance to share the court with them?
Probably just LeBron, just because everyone, you know, knows him as the greatest player. So probably just competing against LeBron.
The greatest player of all time or the greatest player in the current generation?
What I mean, these little kids said of all time.
So the little kids are determining it?
I mean, no, like around.
Is it LeBron or is it who we got who's the best player of all time?
I'm saying MJ.
Okay, you're right. That's the right answer. Okay, yeah. Continue. All right. Yeah. But you want to play, obviously excited to play well.
Yeah,
LeBron.
For sure.
I feel you. Time?
Yeah, me, it's pretty much the same thing with LeBron. I call LeBron Unc, so it's just like, you know, it'd be cool to be out there on the same court as him. Just, you know, growing up watching him, just seeing all the special stuff he'd done through his whole career, and just, you know, having the chance to be out there on the same court as him, watching him do moves and stuff that you watch, you know, on YouTube or in TV. So it's going to be real cool out there. Definitely going to ask for his jersey after the game for sure. Like, yo, I need the jersey.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, so I say LeBron for sure.
How much has he impacted how you guys think about things off the court? Because the stuff he's done, whether it's philanthropic or his business, like how much has he not just impacted people's lives on the court, but how you maybe look at what a career can be?
He impacted a lot. I mean, he definitely showed, you know, there's more ways of making money and stuff than just playing basketball. You know, he showed us a lot of different sides of him as far as, like, his business sides and all that, showing that he opened up his school.
Yeah.
So pretty much showing, you know, once you're a basketball player, you're not just a basketball player. You can still be a regular human being, still go out and do other things. And just seeing how he gave back to his community, building a school is really cool. Just, you know, it should inspire other guys, you know. You get a chance to get blessed to go to the NBA, why not, you know, drop some knowledge and all that stuff on your community back home.
Yeah. Shaden, your community back home in Canada, like, Canada's continued to put out great players over the last 10 years or so. How long until Canada's better than the U.S. in basketball?
Better than the U.S.?
Yeah. How long until Canada beats the U.S. in the Olympics?
I think it's going to be soon just because, you know, we got some good players coming up. I feel like Canada's really going to take over soon.
Okay. So. In terms of when you're looking at guys, are you able to talk to other players in terms of what their experience was that first year? Like, you have some people you've leaned on, and what kind of advice have they given you?
I ain't gonna lie, I haven't really talked to no NBA players from Canada.
Is
really
or is any anywhere? I'm saying, is any NBA player? Anybody give you any advice?
Nah, I don't really talk to no NBA players. It's just be on me and my coach and family and everything. But I mean, my coach really helped RJ and Shea get to the NBA, so I really just be leaning on him.
How about you, Tata?
Yeah, I got to talk to Quickly a little bit. Just pretty much tell me stay in shape. You know, he just pretty much was telling me that's like the biggest thing at the next level, just the speed of the game. Just gotta stay in shape and physicality. Talk to him, and that's pretty much it, really. Just, you know, other than that, just talk with my agent and talk to Pat Bev a little bit too.
Okay.
But other than that, just, you know, just talk to my agent and with my trainers, and that's pretty much it.
Are we gonna see you on First Take taking shots at guys too?
nah. PB got that. Pat Bev got that.
In terms of your game in the offseason, like, since we've seen you play the last game, obviously, in March, what have you been focused on? What has developed?
So I changed my body a ton. I'm healthy, fully healthy now. My athleticism came back. Before I got to college, I was actually on that rim a whole bunch. But, yeah, I've been able to feel light again, feel good. I had a comfortable weight, started putting on a lot of muscle, and just really my athleticism starting to come back and just been able to expand my range, really.
Nice. Shane, what have you focused on the last couple months?
Same thing, Tata. I was just getting my body right, just getting a little stronger. So I'm able to, you know, absorb the contact and everything, finish through contact, and just make the right plays that I want to. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm really focusing on my body.
Cool. A lot of people listen to this podcast, a lot of coaches, a lot of younger players. For the coaches, first of all, when they have special players like you guys, what advice would you give them to if it's the first time they're coming across a chance to work with a potential NBA player? You think back to what your coaches did for you. What advice would you give to coaches?
Me, I would say to a coach, I say, you know, coach everybody. How you going to coach everybody? Like, don't coach your best player and your worst player differently. Like, you know, whatever standard you have, you hold your best player to, hold that to the rest of the team. But just know, like, as your best player, you know, as the season goes and you find who your best player is, like, you know, treat everybody the same, push everybody the same, but, like, also, like, push the leader the most, you know, the best player, push him or her the most, you know, like, you want to see them become the leader of the team and tell their teammates, you know, follow along in their footsteps and stuff like that. So once you find out who your best player is and who your leader is and stuff like that, you know, challenge them, coach them, push them, get them out their comfort zone. Same way everybody else on the team as well, just, you know, hold everybody to the same standard, I say.
Shane, what would you say?
I think just really supporting your players is the biggest thing for me. I mean, basketball is, you know, up and down if you have a long career. So really just supporting your players, just being with them, helping them throughout the way.
As young players that want to get into your position right now, 8, 9, 10, 11, kids that are starting to take basketball seriously, what would your be? And Shane, you said you played two sports too. Let me back up. How did football actually benefit you, you think?
I mean, the physicality of football. I mean, you know, you could give hard hits, take hard hits. So just being that strong dude that you can be playing football can translate to basketball. I mean, basketball is not an easy sport. You know, it's a contact sport as well. So just all that.
What do you what would you tell young people? What is the biggest thing of advice you can give them to help them either get to where you're at, get to their make their high school team, get to college, whatever it may be?
Really just put the work in. I mean, don't take nothing for granted. But really just, I mean, for ball, just stay in that gym and just have fun with the process. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like if you have fun doing what you love doing, it just becomes natural and easy, so.
Tata?
Yeah, pretty much piggyback off what he said, you know, just have fun with it. If you love it, should be easy for you, be natural, like he said. And also, I say just surround yourself around real people, you know, like, not surround yourself by people who are going to tell you the stuff you don't want to hear. You don't want to be around people who's always telling you you're doing good your whole life, and you know personally you're not. So just feel like once you surround yourself by real people and just hear the criticism they got to say and all that, and just keep putting in the work and fall in love with it, like he said, I feel like, you know, you can go a really long way with that.
Yeah, no doubt. Who are the influences? You mentioned Cal earlier. We talked specifically about your time in Kentucky, but who are your influences that got you to this point?
My mom, my dad, and my uncle. Them three definitely played a huge role. My mom and my dad did just sacrifice so much for me to be in this position now. You know, so definitely them three. My uncle, he's my trainer. He's been my trainer for a minute now. First it was my dad and him, but now it's just my uncle. So, you know, they both know how to push me to, you know, my limits and stuff. They know me better than anybody else does, so they know what they can say to me and stuff like that to get me going and all that. And just saying with my mom, just seeing, you know, how she sacrificed a lot of stuff for us. You know, some days she put her side, you know, her personal stuff to, you know, make sure we got what we wanted in life and all that stuff. So I just remember as I'm going out there and playing that, you know, them three people definitely sacrificed a lot for me to be here.
All right, you'll think about it tomorrow when you hear your name called and you're going to cry. Shane, who's your biggest influences?
I probably said my mom and my dad, just because of the support they gave me. I mean, they really supported me throughout, you know, the journey and the way. And also my AAU coach, my mentor, really helped me, supported me, and really just showed me the way. So,
well, fellas, appreciate your time. I know you got a lot going on. As Ty said earlier, enjoy New York. Hope you guys have a good last night before you are officially NBA players. Enjoy the experience. Have fun. And thank you for joining the podcast.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to join Monica and Dallin each week on the Junior NBA Coach's Corner. For more, go to juniornba.com or wherever your favorite podcasts are found.